In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for coming to Mass today to seek God's will and His blessing upon our nation at this time. And boy, do we need it. Boy, do we need it during this time. Just as always, there's never a moment where we don't need God's blessing upon our nation, particularly in a special way. And you are here to pray particularly for that cause. Is that the end or the conclusion of this Mass? I'll invite those who wish to, though you don't have to. It's all right if I'm the only one who's doing it. So don't feel any compulsion because I'm springing this on you, obviously. You didn't know about it before. But after Mass, going to expose the Blessed Sacrament, I'm going to pray a holy hour. So if you would like to join as well, we will do that. And whether you're here or not, I'm still going to give benediction to the whole of the parish at the conclusion of this Mass. And I will, we'll pray, or I will pray a rosary shortly after exposing the Blessed Sacrament for our nation. And to pray the litany of the Most Precious Blood over our parish as well in our nation. So if you wish to stay for any of those things, you're welcome to do so, but don't feel obligated. You didn't know that this was going on. And so if you don't have the time to be able to spend with that, you're just saying, I want to go to Mass, I want to receive Jesus, I want to glorify God, I want to pray for my nation here within our church, that's totally fine and to be expected as well. Thank you for that. But today here within our readings, I think there's something special here. You know the prophet Isaiah, or rather the prophet Hosea, do you know who he is? This is a really great grace. We're reading from the prophet Hosea. This is in the ordinary form of the Mass. Well, do you know whose feast day is actually today? It's actually the prophet Hosea's feast day. You know that? Anybody in the whole church? No, nobody in the whole church knows this. The prophet Hosea's feast day actually happens to be today. It's by grace of divine providence that it happens to be, because it's not always on the same day where we have a reading from the prophet Hosea, but if you read the Roman Martyrology, it dedicates this particular day to the prophet Hosea. The prophet Hosea as his feast day here within our church, and so that is a great grace for us to have it. Now, who is the prophet Hosea? Do you know? One of the Old Testament prophets, obviously. Prophet Hosea has a very powerful book and a powerful testimony. His testimony is one which is written about so much by the great mystics of the church, who write about this great man and his writings, because what his entire mission can be summed up in this little phrase here. The mission of the prophet Hosea is to do something that you would hate if your daughters were to do. You would hate if your son would engage in, either of them. Your children, you don't want them to do what Hosea does. As parents, what you pray for your children is that they would find good spouses, right? Good, faithful spouses. Spouses who will be good to them all their lives, who would bless them, and they would be able to be a blessing too in the same way, but also would receive that blessing themselves. Well, Hosea was sent by God with a specific purpose, saying God told him who to marry. And he said, you're going to marry an unfaithful woman. And I want you to marry an unfaithful woman. And she's going to be unfaithful to you as well. He said, go out and marry a prostitute. You don't want that for your kids, do you? But God said to the prophet Hosea, do this because you are a prophet and this will be my testimony against and for Israel. You read that entirety of the book. It's a very short book. His prophecies are there, but it is one that the mystics write about, because what is it so much that our relationship between us and God is a relationship of, is God being unfaithful or are we? It's us. And so he says to Hosea, you will represent me and you will wed yourself, join yourself to a prostitute who was unfaithful before you, and will continue to remain unfaithful with you. And what do you think our Lord God said to do the prophet Hosea when this prostitute who was unfaithful before him would also be unfaithful to him? He said what? You will still remain faithful. You will take her back again and again and again. Over and over again, you will continue to take her back. Think what kind of stretching that must have done to his own heart. To have this one being unfaithful again and again and again. And God says, you will take her back and you will show her my immense love. And this will be a testament for Israel and against Israel. That they will see the way in which you have such a righteous, holy man have gone forward and taken one to yourself in this way and still remained faithful. Just like I still will remain faithful to Israel. So now read that passage once again. I'll have it for you here. It says, thus says the Lord, I will allure her, meaning the wife. I will allure Israel and lead her back into the desert, and I shall speak to her heart. And she shall respond there as in the days of her youth when she came up out of the land of Egypt. On that day, says the Lord God, she shall call me my husband, and never again will she call me my Baal, which is a pagan god's name, meaning my master, who I do evil things with. And he says this. He says, even despite her unfaithfulness, he says, quote, I will espouse you to me forever, and I will espouse you in right and in justice, in love and in mercy. I will espouse you in fidelity, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Literally says, you shall know the Lord. And since this is husband and wife language, you know this is the language of intimacy in the carnal sense. Meaning I will hold nothing back from you, and I will receive everything that you are into myself. This is the way God desires to act with you and me within our souls. It's appropriate that we would have this reading particularly on this day as well. Because of what? Because our nation in so many ways, and that's not uncommon for any nation, all nations fall in this very same way because we're all unfaithful, we're all composed of unfaithful people, but our nation was founded in large part upon these good biblical principles, upon a recognition of God. And our great document of our founding is all about we hold ourselves to be under God himself. That we recognize that the blessings of liberty are really the blessings of God himself. For he has taken us out of slavery to sin and slavery to the world, to slavery of Egypt, as Hosea is speaking about here, as God has given him a prophecy, but to live in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. But we often, as a people, lose sight of our founding. Lose sight of the liberty in which we were founded. Lose sight of the God under whom we placed ourselves as a nation. And so it is time for us, in a real sense, to come back to God. Remember a couple of months ago, I shared with you what Archbishop Fulton Sheen, a great man of God who should be beatified at this point, but because of forces which have aligned against him both within and without the church, have pushed that off to happier times, God willing. In 1979, he went to the National Prayer Breakfast. And there is a moment when even our nation comes together and says, let's pray. Let's pray because we need to seek God, even a secular nation such as ours. And so each and every year that prayer breakfast happens, and sometimes they have really great speakers like Fulton J. Sheen. The president was Jimmy Carter. And remember that he began his speech there as he was going to deliver an address before leading into a prayer. And he looked there before all the dignitaries, all the celebrities, everybody who was there present on that day, and turned to them and said, first, to address the president, Jimmy Carter. And he said to him, Mr. President, you are a sinner. And getting everybody's attention with those words of accusation against the man in the highest office of the land. He then looked at him intensely and said, and I am a sinner. And all of us here, we are sinners who need to turn back to God. And so with that, began to launch into his great call to conversion there in 1979 to a nation who had lost sight of her founding. In 79, if such was the case, which Fulton Sheen could see at that time, how much more so our own times. And so we do. And how do we begin that turn back to God? Is by turning back to the faithfulness of God himself. First, to recognize that he will still remain faithful to us, even despite all of our turnings away from him. And yet he waits for us to come back to him. I can't do anything to affect the whole nation. Can you? Can't. But what I can do, and what you can do, is to do something to affect, first, my own self. To turn to the Lord in confession, to turn to him with a sacrament that has been given to us to cleanse me from sin, to make sure that I myself do the prayers that I should be doing, to pray the rosary daily, to make sure that that I myself am following God's law and giving myself all the more to the truths and the teachings of the faith, these divine mysteries, to assistance at Mass as often as physically possible, which so many of you do so well. But then beyond that, I do have influence beyond myself. Even if it's not great, it's at least with those who I come into contact each and every day. And to seek that in some and little ways, beginning with my own individual family, that I lead them in a deeper relationship to God by reminding them of the truths even when they don't want to know about it. But doing so in a way that is loving and is careful and is not the way in which sometimes we can nag and press and needle. Leaving room for God to, he's in charge of taking them the whole way. My job is just to do what I can in love. And then maybe even beyond that, to do the various things which I do, to make sure when I'm out in public that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ and I'm willing to make the sign of the cross before I eat even at table with others, to make sure that before my children leave my household, that I give them the blessing as they go, that I anoint them with the holy water which I keep always at my door and pray that they come back safely, to do that even with my own spouse. Each and every day to make sure that these little things, to remind them of their dignity based in God's own gift to them. And those are the ways in which you and I can begin to, in little and in great ways, to be able to affect those who are around us first, ourselves, and then the others, and then that is what gets our nation back to its founding. Can't do anything that is on the great scale of turning an entire nation back to God. You and I can't do that, though we can pray to it and pray to Our Lady for that grace. She wants it too. But you and I can do the very things that we can do in radical ways, and that begins to change the heart of a nation. Because when we begin to change our own hearts and help our families to change their hearts, and even those in our immediate vicinity within our community to do so, that is the step in the right direction. And by enough of us beginning to do that, that does indeed change the heart of the nation. Remember, Saint Abraham, when he pled with God because he realized that God was going to destroy the whole of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham argued and argued and argued with God over and over again, saying, if it was just this many, if it was just this many, if it was just this many, if it was just even this many, would you hold back from your wrath if they're faithful? Does anybody know how many faithful that God was willing to go down to spare an entire group of evil, wicked cities? That's right. He said, if there were but 10, God said, if there are even 10 faithful souls in that city, I will withhold my wrath. I will withhold my wrath for the sake of those 10. Sodom and Gomorrah, there were not 10. And so the city was destroyed, but God delivered the faithful ones from their midst first. And so you and I, by doing the little things that you and I can do, could hold back even by that great fidelity, God's wrath, and bring not only a cessation of God's wrath, but also a gift of God's blessing upon the entirety of a nation, even by the same. That's what we're here to do today, to pray. And in just a moment, we're going to continue that with a word of encouragement on what little work that God is doing to reach out to your soul and mine for the gospel in Spanish. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
In el nombre del Padre, del Hijo, y del Espíritu Santo. Qué grande es el sabiduría de Dios. Diosito dispiense su salvación de los seres humanos con numerosos y sorprendentes bondades. Dios ha sido tan bueno con nosotros en muchas maneras. Piénsalo. Cuando alguien creyó en la sola voluntad de Jesús, era suficiente para limpiarlo de su lepra. ¿Qué sucedió? Jesús lo curó por el mero acuerdo de su voluntad, diciendo, yo lo quiero. Queda limpio. Cuando otra persona le rogó a Jesús que venera a resucitar su hija muerta poniendo su mano sobre ella, ¿qué ocurrió? Jesús entró en mi casa, en su casa, y le concedió lo le pedía. Sucedió exactamente lo que hombre esperaba. Cuando otro dijo, Señor, solo di una palabra y mi cerebro quedará curado. ¿Qué hizo Jesús? Devolvió la fuerza de los miembros debilitados mediante una poderosa orden diciendo, ve y que te haga lo has creído. ¿Qué podemos obtener de estos hechos, de estos ejemplos de las Escrituras por nosotros? Cuando otros esperaban la curación tocando el borde de su manto, Jesús concedió los dones de la salud en abundancia, más a la de lo que podían hacer los mejores médicos del día. A otros le concedió la curación de su enfermedad en el mismo momento en que se la perdieron. Otros ofreció voluntariamente la curación incluso sin la petición verbal. Jesús animó a otros a tener esperanza. Curando dijo, ¿quieres estar bien? De este modo aumentó su deseo. Otros que no tenían esperanza le ayudó a salir de la desesperación. Jesús buscó los deseos de los demás antes de satisfacer su necesidad, diciendo, ¿qué quieres que haga por ti? Esto les hacía identificar realmente sus necesidades. Al otro, no sabía cómo obtener qué deseaba, se lo mostró ambiante. Se mostró amablemente cuando le dijo, si crees, verás la gloria de Dios. ¿Qué hizo esto sino elevar el alma a la esperanza de lo que estaba más allá de su alcance? A la esperanza del cielo. Esta es la mejor curación en todo el universo. ¿Qué debimos ganar con todas estas obras milagrosas de nuestro Señor Jesús? La generosidad de Jesús se amolada a la capacidad de nuestra fe humana. Cuando vengamos a la misa, Si tienes alguna necesidad, no seas tímido. No seas tímido, no tengas miedo. No pienses que tu petición es demasiado grande o demasiado pequeño o demasiado poco en importancia. Cuando estás en la presencia de Dios, no pienses que eres demasiado indigno. No. No, estos son mentiras. Jesús está aquí para sacar tu fe, para aumentar tu esperanza, para hacer crecer tu deseo, para iluminar su oscuridad, para endurezcar tu camino. Sí. Y también para traer un corazón real. Una corazón que dure para siempre. Jesús dijo estas palabras. Si crees, verás la gloria de Dios. ¿Quién, queridos amigos, que verán su gloria? Está aquí en la Eucaristía, está aquí Él. Él está en la Eucaristía. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo.